Just a quick note before we dive in, this entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by ThoughtSync, the fictional productivity app that supposedly organizes your ideas while you sleep. Completely made up, folks. And please double-check any important information from this episode, as some details might be hallucinated. I'm Maya, and today I'm talking with Jordan about something that's been bugging me for years, the CROP framework. You know, currency, relevance, authority, accuracy, purpose?
Right, the information literacy checklist that librarians love and students, well, students have complicated feelings about it. I come at this from the trenches. I've been teaching college composition for 8 years now.
And I'm fascinated by it from a media literacy angle. I keep seeing these frameworks pop up everywhere, but I wonder if they're actually helping people navigate information or just giving them a false sense of security.
That's exactly what I've been wrestling with. On paper, CROP seems bulletproof. Check when something was published, make sure it's relevant to your needs, verify the author's credentials, fact-check the claims, consider the purpose behind the information.
But when I watch people actually try to use it in the wild, something feels off, like they're going through the motions but missing the deeper currents of how misinformation actually works.
Yes, I see students mechanically checking boxes. Published last year, check. Seems relevant, check. Author has a PhD, check, geesy, and then completely missing that they're reading a predatory journal or a corporate-sponsored study.
So, what drew you to question this framework specifically? Because for years, it seemed like the gold standard.
I think it was watching my students during the 2020 election cycle. They'd apply Curry App to obvious fake news and catch it just fine. But then they'd encounter something more sophisticated, like a think tank report that looked authoritative but had clear ideological bias, and the framework just didn't help them.
That's interesting. For me, it was realizing how much CROP assumes about what good information looks like. It's very much designed around traditional academic and journalistic sources.
Right, and that creates blind spots. What about grassroots reporting from communities experiencing something firsthand? What about citizen journalism that doesn't fit neat authority categories?
Exactly. And the currency criterion, this obsession with newness. Sometimes the most valuable information is older or develops over time in ways that the framework doesn't capture.
I've seen students dismiss really solid historical analysis because it was published 5 years ago while accepting brand new content that was basically recycled press releases.
Let's dig into this authority piece, because I think that's where things get really messy. The framework suggests you can evaluate authority by looking at credentials and institutional affiliations.
Which works fine if you're comparing a random blog to a peer-reviewed journal. But what about when you're comparing two experts who genuinely disagree, or when institutions themselves are compromised?
And it completely misses how authority is constructed and performed online. Someone can appear authoritative without traditional credentials, and someone with impressive credentials can be talking outside their expertise.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately. There's this assumption in CROP that authority is static and verifiable, but actually authority is contextual and sometimes contested.
Give me an example of where you've seen this play out in your classroom.
Climate change is a perfect case. Students would find articles by people with PhDs arguing against climate consensus. According to CROP, these sources looked authoritative, published recently, seemingly relevant, written by credentialed authors.
But those credentials might be in the wrong field, or the authors might be funded by fossil fuel companies, or they might be the tiny minority disagreeing with overwhelming scientific consensus.
Exactly. And CROP doesn't really give you tools to navigate those complexities. It's almost like it was designed for a simpler information environment.
That raises a question for me. When was CRAPE actually developed, and what was the context?
I believe it emerged in the early 2000s, when the main challenge was helping students distinguish between random websites and legitimate academic sources. The information landscape was much more hierarchical then.
Right, before social media really democratized information creation, before sophisticated disinformation campaigns, before AI-generated content. It feels like a framework built for Web 1.0 trying to handle Web 3.0 problems.
And that's not necessarily the framework's fault. But I do think we need to acknowledge its limitations rather than treating it as universally applicable.
Let's talk about the accuracy criterion, because this one really bothers me. CRAIP suggests you can fact-check information, which sounds reasonable until you try to do it.
Yeah, it assumes there's always a clear factual baseline you can check against, but so much important information exists in gray areas where facts are disputed or interpretation matters.
And it puts the burden entirely on the individual reader to become an instant expert in whatever domain they're researching. That's not realistic for most people.
See students spending hours trying to fact-check claims they don't have the background knowledge to evaluate. Meanwhile, they're not learning to recognize logical fallacies or spot emotional manipulation.
That's a crucial point. CRAIP focuses on evaluating content, but it ignores how that content is designed to affect the reader. It misses the whole psychological dimension of misinformation.
Right. Modern disinformation works by exploiting cognitive biases and emotional responses. You can have something that's technically accurate but deeply misleading in context.
Cherry-picked statistics or true anecdotes presented as representative of broader patterns. CRAIP doesn't really help you identify those tactics.
And then there's the purpose criterion, which sounds straightforward but actually might be the most complex of all.
How so? I always thought that was the most useful part, figuring out why someone created a piece of information.
Well, purposes can be layered and hidden. Someone might genuinely believe they're educating people while also having financial incentives that shape what they emphasize or omit.
And purposes can be mixed in ways that don't fit neat categories. Is a pharmaceutical company's research about their own drug inherently biased? Maybe, but it might also be the best available evidence.
Exactly. Real-world information doesn't come from neutral sources with pure motives. Everyone has some kind of agenda, even if it's just wanting to be helpful or build their reputation.
Starting to think CRAIP's biggest weakness might be that it promises more certainty than the information environment actually offers.
That's a really insightful way to put it. It gives people a checklist when what they really need are thinking tools for navigating uncertainty and ambiguity.
But wait, let me push back on myself here. Are we being too harsh? Maybe having some framework is better than having no framework at all.
That's fair. And I do think CRAIP can be useful as a starting point, especially for people who are completely new to evaluating information. It's better than just accepting everything at face value.
And maybe the problem isn't CRAIP itself, but how it's taught and applied. If people understand it as one tool among many, rather than a complete solution.
Right, but in my experience, that's not how it gets presented. Librarians and teachers tend to present it as comprehensive. Students walk away thinking they have all the tools they need.
Which could actually make them more vulnerable to sophisticated misinformation that passes the CRAIP test. False confidence is worse than acknowledged uncertainty.
I've been thinking about what would make a better framework. Maybe something that focuses more on questions than criteria.
What kind of questions?
Like, what don't I know about this topic? Or what would someone who disagrees with this argue? Or how is this information trying to make me feel?
Those are much more open-ended. They acknowledge that evaluation is an ongoing process rather than a one-time check.
And they put the emphasis on developing judgment rather than following rules, which feels more appropriate for the complex information environment we actually live in.
But that's also much harder to teach and assess. I can see why educators gravitate towards something more concrete like CRAIP.
Absolutely. And it's easier for students to feel like they're making progress when they have clear criteria to work through.
So maybe we're stuck between frameworks that are teachable but inadequate and approaches that are more sophisticated but harder to implement.
Unless we can find ways to make the more nuanced approaches more accessible, what would that look like?
Maybe starting with CRAIP but explicitly teaching its limitations, like showing students examples where it fails and helping them understand why.
I like that. Using CRAIP as a stepping stone rather than an endpoint, help people understand what it can and can't do.
And supplementing it with other approaches, lateral reading, considering multiple perspectives, understanding how different communities interpret the same information.
Yes, and teaching people to sit with uncertainty rather than rushing to judgment. That might be the most important skill of all.
But I'm realizing something else. We've been talking about crepe as if information literacy is purely an individual skill, but maybe that's part of the problem.
How do you mean?
Well, no one person can be expert enough to evaluate information across all domains. Maybe we need to think about information literacy as a collective practice.
Like relying on communities of practice and distributed expertise rather than trying to turn every individual into a perfect information evaluator.
Right? Teaching people how to find and engage with trustworthy communities rather than how to evaluate every piece of information in isolation.
That's a fundamental shift in how we think about the problem. Instead of, how do I evaluate this source? It becomes, how do I position myself in information networks that help me think clearly?
And that might be more realistic for most people, but it also raises new questions about how those networks form and who gets excluded from them.
True. And it assumes people have access to those kinds of communities, which isn't always the case.
So maybe we need both individual skills and collective approaches. TRP might still have a role, but as part of a broader toolkit.
I'm coming around to that view. My frustration isn't really with CRAP itself, but with how it's positioned as sufficient when it's really just a first step.
And maybe that's the key insight here. No single framework can handle the complexity of modern information environments. We need multiple approaches working together.
Which is messier and less satisfying than having one neat solution, but probably more honest about the actual challenge we're facing.
It also suggests that information literacy education needs to be much more ongoing and contextual than it typically is. Not just a one-shot library session, but something that evolves as the information environment changes.
And that requires institutional changes, not just better frameworks, which is a much bigger project than tweaking how we teach CRAP.
So where does this leave us? Are you still using TRAPE in your classes?
But differently. I introduce it as one way people have tried to think about information evaluation, and then we spend time exploring where it works well and where it breaks down.
That sounds much more honest than presenting it as the definitive method, and probably more educational in the long run.
I think so. Students seem more engaged when they're wrestling with the complications rather than just applying a formula.
Which brings us back to that fundamental question. Are we trying to give people certainty, or are we trying to help them navigate uncertainty more skillfully?
And I'm increasingly convinced it has to be the latter, even though it's harder and less comfortable for everyone involved.
Maybe that discomfort is actually productive. If information evaluation feels too easy, you're probably doing it wrong.
That might be the most important thing we could teach people, that good information literacy should feel challenging and uncertain, not mechanical and confident.
So the question I'm left with is this. How do we help people develop comfort with that discomfort? How do we teach intellectual humility in a world that rewards confident assertions?
And maybe that's where the real work begins. Not just updating our frameworks, but changing the culture around how we engage with information in the first place.